resilience is required in business. And I think sometimes that just comes with persistence. So if you have an idea, do your due diligence. It doesn't really sound like the best business idea, but go with your gut instinct. Really trust that intuition. And if something feels wrong, take heed. But if something feels right, go for it.
Hi, I'm Janice Peterson. Welcome to The Company You Keep. On today's episode, we meet Stacey Head, founder and managing director of SheWear, Australia's first female founded and led footwear company. Sometimes we get told to walk in someone else's shoes. Well, Stacey did just that and decided it wasn't a good fit. So she crushed convention and became an innovator who refuses to offer a man's fit or size as a solution for women. We'll talk about what it takes to turn a great idea into a thriving small business and how customer feedback can help to develop and grow your brand. Stacey Head, founder and managing director of SheWear, thanks so much for joining us on The Company You Keep.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us how SheWear started out. Was there a particular moment you could think of that really sparked the idea of wanting to start your own female footwear company?
There was, unfortunately and fortunately. So the light bulb moment for me was I was flipping properties. So I had my own property management company. And it was on one of those properties I was wearing a pair of thongs, which for non-Australians, a pair of flip-flops or jandals. Yes, safety first back then. Very IHS of me. And a nail went through my foot whilst I was wearing a pair of thongs. So needless to say, quite a bit of pain, a few issues with that. After that, I tried to source a pair of decent women's specific footwear. And I'm a size 7 foot. I don't have any issues there. And I was just astounded at the lack of choice. So women just were not catered for. And I just thought someone's got to do something about it. So I guess that was me.
But that's a pretty massive leap to go from an injury, unfortunately, wearing flip-flops while flipping properties, to wanting to start your own business. Was that difficult? Because there would be so many safety procedures and compliance aspects you'd need to get your head around.
Absolutely. And I've said this before, if I knew what was involved, I'm actually not sure I would have started it. So I think I got too far in, and it was about 10 months of due diligence and prototype building and speaking to certifiers. And there were no grants or any government assistance back in those days. You were pretty much on your own. There was big business and then there was me. So there still is no other small safety footwear businesses around. So it was definitely, I was on my own. So it was a really hard slog in those days. I mean, it still is, to be honest. But back then, there was no outside help whatsoever. And it's such a specialised industry. It's kind of been, I've learnt as I've gone. Yes, definitely. It's been a very sharp learning curve over the last 7 years.
And what sorts of things were you hearing from women in terms of the footwear that they were using in these industrial settings?
I guess one of the biggest issues was the weight of the boots, but also just that the ill-fitting nature of those boots. So men and women's feet are anatomically different. So there is interesting research out there available for everyone to read, and also on our website about those anatomical differences. So, for example, a woman's arch is a lot higher than a man's. A woman's ankle is considerably narrower. And just because a woman might be the same height as a man, given stature, for example, it doesn't mean that their foot is the same shape. So we don't get that arch support in a man's boot, and it's a lot wider through the metatarsal and through the toe area. So there's quite a few differences between men and women. And if you're standing on your feet or walking for long periods of time, you really need that comfort and that support underfoot.
But we know some of these bigger businesses, these multinationals, are offering unisex sizes. They go from quite small to large. So why aren't they cutting it?
Good question. Unisex doesn't actually exist, not in my opinion. It's really just a man's size and a man's fit. And a lot of companies out there, not all of them, but a lot of the companies will still use a man's mold or a last, which is how shoes are made, and size it two sizes down. It's basically not suitable really for women because, again, that arch support isn't there, and they can be very bulky and sloppy, for want of a better word, around the ankle. So really important to find footwear, regardless of what you're doing in them, that supports our specific foot shape correctly.
And how did you start out? Where was the actual premises of the business?
So I started in my back garage. Sounds very fancy. The business was intended on being a hobby on the side whilst I renovated my property. It was quite a difficult market to test. So yeah, I just thought, let's give this a go. So I started as a home-based business and we had the female contestants on the block where them just a few months after we launched. And they were the days Facebook was very easy to get that organic reach that created the business as it is today. So we moved into a commercial property within about 6 months and also started selling internationally as well. So it's definitely been an interesting journey for the last 7 years.
I feel like that's quite quick to be moving into a commercial space within 6 months. Did that surprise you at all?
It did. It did. But I was basically living with boxes in every room of my house. I think I sat on boxes to watch TV, which was on a box, so it was getting a little bit impractical. I had a shipping container put in my backyard to try and get rid of some of those boxes in my house. So it wasn't very practical. It wasn't very professional. It obviously wasn't very safe. I'm very OH&S now.
Well, as you should be when you're making safety wear.
Correct.
So some of the female contestants on a home reno show were wearing your footwear. What stood out to viewers?
First and foremost, the colour. We introduced multiple colours. So there was one colour out there prior to SheWear, but we had red, we had pink, we had green. So obviously being on a national television show, it was very specific that women were wearing a steel cap boot that was in red. Then obviously the company name being SheWear, it's very female specific. So people were searching for us online and realising that it was not specifically for men, it was specifically for women.
And how important was that exposure now in hindsight, looking back to having the contestants wearing your brand on national TV? How much of a boost was that?
It was huge, no question about it. A startup like mine, which, as I said, really just started as a hobby, no marketing budget. I bootstrapped the business, so really no budget whatsoever. To get that focus and that national attention was a huge bonus for us. And definitely, I'm really not convinced SheWear would be here today without it.
Subscribe to The Company You Keep on your favourite podcast app. Does it surprise you at all that SheWear is Australia's only female-led and founded footwear company?
It does, but it doesn't. I guess we're speaking with women daily and it's a lot of people will say to me, it's so niche what you do, and it's actually not. We have women in construction and trades, but there are so many other women out there needing specific work footwear. So we actually do work footwear as well for the health professionals, nurses, retail and hospitality staff. So there's a lot of women in these industries and we do a checkout survey asking those women what they're doing. And we'll have everyone from geologists, morticians, forensic cleaners, truck drivers, factory workers. It's really quite broad. So that's why we also design so many different styles to cater for all those different markets.
How does that make you feel that you're with them every step of the way?
Our business ethos is about supporting and empowering women, and that's just as important to me personally as it is about our product. And we take all that feedback on board. So when a woman will come to us and say, you know, I'm a cleaner, well, we'll look at why she needs specific shoes. We take all of that feedback on board and continually look at different materials and different styles. But it's great to know that we have a great relationship with a lot of our customers. So it's super important for a small business, especially an online business, which you can very easily hide behind your computer. So it's great to be able to connect and empower women and share stories so that women know what their options are out there.
And we know some of the issues that women were having was the poor fit, the heaviness. So what's the feedback been like after they've worn your product?
It's hugely different. So women can't believe the difference. And we even cater for women with narrow and wide feet. So we have different styles according to a specific woman's shape. And we have a really high percentage of return customers and word of mouth customers. I think we are doing something right and we are catering for those women's needs. But no, we have many, many women with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pairs. So it's great to have those loyal customers.
And what was the initial response like to a female-focused work footwear brand?
Originally, we did get a lot of interesting feedback. A lot of people would say things to us like, no one's going to wear pink work boots, or what's the difference between men and women? So it's good to see that education has come a long way in the 7 years. And we do have a point to educate people about the differences. People don't understand that there is a difference. They're not going to know the benefits. And so we definitely try and educate our customers on the benefits of wearing specific, supportive, comfortable footwear. So that's really important to our business.
And for a business like yours, is it important to get a patent around it? How do you stop people from stealing your idea?
You basically can't. And this has been an issue for 7 years. We've had people copying our styles like for like. And we also have the big brands that will come out and use our taglines, designed by women for women. And there's not much you can do about that. I was given advice very early on in the stages, don't worry about so much a patent, because all someone has to do is manipulate a very small feature of that boot, and they can get that through. And obviously litigation is so expensive. So it's important to us that we remain nimble and small and continually improve our designs, but bring out new designs as well. So that's the best way, I think, to protect our business moving forward, is to ensuring that we're catering for the biggest number of women that we can and continually improve.
I know you've got your eye on the future, you're obviously always developing things. So what steps do you take when you feel like it's time to expand your initial offerings?
I guess going by feedback from our customers, and we also do our own research. So we found a lot of women were wearing our safety footwear and didn't specifically require that, the safety features of it. And with a bit of research, we realised that so many nurses were still struggling finding comfortable shoes, but that were durable. And so we hear so many stories where nurses will buy an expensive pair of shoes and they only last for 3 months. So it's definitely listening to that feedback. Prototypes can take quite a while. Sometimes something could be in development for 18 months and I refuse to release something to the market that hasn't been tested and isn't suitable. So it is quite a slow process, but it's just listening to feedback and also looking at fashion trends as well. Even though it's not a fashion parade, we're not saying that. There's nothing wrong with having a fashion edge to something that's functional.
Is that something you'd ever consider, more of a customised look?
Every year we will be introducing these limited edition. We've got a couple of things on the go at the moment, still testing. Durability is a big issue with us. So, you know, we've looked at vegan options and we've tested them and they're just not durable enough, in my opinion. And I would prefer to wait until there are better materials out there. We've had great feedback from people. They love our bit of a fun take on a very serious footwear.
And tell me more about that feedback. Does that inform the products that you offer? How much input do customers have in terms of what's on offer for the brand?
We log everything that we receive, the good and the bad. Thankfully, we receive really positive feedback, and the majority of our feedback is really positive. But naturally, you run a large production and you can't be everything to everybody. So we take all of that on board as well. So when in the early days, our footwear was a little bit heavier. So we had that consistent feedback from customers that they wanted something light. So our biggest selling boot now is actually one of the lightest on the market. So it's very, very important to the development of the brand.
Do you have to sacrifice some of the safety aspects when you're lightening up the product in terms of weight?
No, absolutely not. And obviously the compliance, the Australian compliance and also the global compliance is of utmost importance. So everything that we manufacture or sell is to standards, and we would definitely never pass them by to ensure that something's fashionable or comfortable. So safety first, really, with SheWear. So for example, a lightweight boot, we use a composite safety cap rather than a steel cap, and it's a metal-free product. So it's great for airports and for FIFO workers as well. And they are tested and rated exactly the same as steel cap to Australian standards. So if we are looking at something and it doesn't pass standards, we actually won't manufacture it.
So what products are you offering at the moment, Stacey?
So we have safety footwear and we also have work footwear. So obviously the safety going into all the different markets, engineers, tradies and some of the other industries suggested before. And we also have the work footwear market. So nurses, retail, healthcare, aged care, childcare. And then we also sell a full range of women's workwear and PPE. So protective glasses, gloves and work cargo pants, work shirts, so a full range of that. We don't manufacture under our own brand, but we stock about 8 different brands. And again, ranging from size 4 to 26. So we make sure that we're diverse and inclusive.
Now, I'm guessing, Stacey, that customers really welcome that development. Sizes from 4 to 26, that's quite a wide range. What do the customers tell you about that?
I think they love the fact that we are inclusive. Women struggle to find workwear even in size 10, for example. So the fact that we do have that ethos that we will always offer a large variety of sizes and also styles. So we also give our own personal opinions on our website to say, if you have a small waist, go for this example. So we test everything in our team. We're all different shapes and sizes in here at SheWear. So I think it's really important to be inclusive for women who struggle to find such a basic item as workwear.
Have you stopped wearing flip-flops to work?
Yes. On a building site, I definitely wear SheWear. I'm a fabulous advocate for my own business, yes.
This podcast is brought to you by Business Australia. Join Business Australia as a free member to access advice, tools and documents to help you be better at business. Visit businessaustralia.com to find out more. Now, you mentioned that you expanded the business pretty early, within the first 6 months. So what was that process like when you hired your first employee, and how do you find the right fit to attract people to your business?
Staffing is definitely a major challenge for a small business, is getting the right people with the right fit and with the right attitude. And one thing I have discovered is having someone working for you and with you that understands the small business, because it's very different than a large business. There's no such thing as, no, that's not my role. And sometimes all of us will be down in the warehouse helping dispatch. It's really important to be able to get your hands dirty. So it's definitely been a process, getting the right people. I did have an ethos for quite a few years in the business that I could do it all. And I tried to keep the team as small as possible, A, for monetary reasons, but maybe I could be a little bit of a control freak, but in a nice possible way. But as we've had great growth over the last year, it's really important to grow that team. And I've got a fabulous team at the moment that has just worked tirelessly during a very interesting year with COVID. Nothing's ever questioned. They're always happy to lend a hand to whoever needs it.
Well, COVID has been challenging for lots of small businesses in particular. We've had lockdowns to deal with. There's obviously production lags. How did you cope?
We're very lucky. We're one of the lucky ones, I think, during COVID. We invested quite heavily in digital marketing, probably only a few months before COVID. And we also launched our work sneaker range just before COVID. So I think it's a little bit of luck and timing on our part. But that digital marketing has definitely made a difference to our business. And obviously with everyone going online during COVID, we have a showroom, but we're not, we don't have a large amount of stockists. We've always focused as an e-com direct-to-consumer business. And it's creating that conversation during COVID with our customers through social media and digital marketing, I think, that's enabled us to grow and reach out to those customers.
And so what platforms are you using, and is that digital marketing something you've outsourced?
No, we've kept that in-house. We've just recently moved to Klaviyo, which all sync with our back office systems. We've actually had an interesting year. We've had a new website rebuild, and we've also introduced an inventory management system. So it's been a fun year of IT this year, that's for sure. But it's definitely helped the growth of the business and also to reach out to those customers and to get our message across, I guess, that it's not all about our products. It's about women inspiring other women.
And so by automating some of those processes, do you feel like the business is now more efficient?
Yes, definitely. We're still in those early stages where it's probably more work than what we're used to. However, long-term picture is we know that it will make our lives a lot easier, but a lot more efficient, and will help with our inventory and manufacturing processes.
I know you've had some interest from offshore, so take me through the processes of wanting to build up the capabilities to serve international customers. What do you need to do?
International is a challenge, especially with footwear. Quite a few people don't want to buy footwear online, and I understand that. So we make sure that we have a good returns process for our Australian customers. International, we have had great growth, but for us to grow further, we need to look at things such as local returns hubs. So it will be definitely a focus for us next year. We've put our technology in place to allow us to grow. Enabling foreign currency is a good example, but looking at that local support on the ground, say in the UK or in New Zealand, will allow us to grow that even further.
Is it hard for a business in Australia to reach those customers? I mean, you're dealing with a product here that's, even though I know you've got a lightweight model, but it's reasonably heavy. It'd be heavier than a normal shoe. We're very isolated here in Australia, you know, to reach someone perhaps in Europe or England, even Asia. Are the postage costs prohibitive?
They are quite expensive. So we absorb a lot of those costs. Otherwise, I don't think people would purchase paying $100, for example, for a courier. So that is something that does hinder our growth, no question about it. And we've been doing research on local returns hubs, but also using maybe a logistics company on the ground. So that will be something that will be a huge focus for us next year. And, you know, it's 1.5 kilos, say, for a boxed pair of boots, but it also takes up space. So yeah, it is quite an expensive process. We do offer free express delivery here in Australia, which obviously allows us to go from Brisbane to Perth overnight. And that is a huge bonus for our customers. But internationally, we can still get a pair of boots to the UK within a week. Obviously, COVID made that a little bit slower. So we've been fortunate. We've been able to grow in that respect.
And do you feel like your business background, even though it hasn't necessarily been in retail, has helped you through this?
I think so. Yes, definitely. I think running obviously a property development company for about 5 or 6 years and having to budget in those management positions, there was always a lot of financial decisions and a financial management. And that's definitely been vital in this business.
And Stacey, you mentioned that due diligence is very important in a safety product like yours. How do you get on top of the quality control to make sure that you're hitting those safety standards?
First of all, I guess it starts with the design process. So we get quite a few different prototypes and we test them ourselves. I travel to our factory, so we do manufacture offshore. Something that down the track, I would love to start our own manufacturing, but there are no independent safety footwear manufacturers in Australia yet. But we have quality assurance managers. So we have a third-party auditors who audit our factories, audit our footwear. And as I said, I travel to the factories myself to make sure they treat their staff well, that it's ethically run, that our production runs are tested. So I stand there when they do testing on the boots, which always makes you squirm a little bit when there is a striker at 200 joules hitting a steel cap. So compliance is extremely important to me. Safety first, definitely.
What challenges have you faced leading and growing your business from the ground up to scaling up to where you are today?
Quite a few challenges. I guess brand awareness as a small business. We are the only small business in the safety footwear industry within Australia. So that is definitely difficult. We don't have the distribution channels that the large companies do. So we do rely heavily on social media and we also rely heavily on word of mouth from our customers. Staffing, as I said before, that's definitely a challenge. And also cash flows and design and manufacturing. So there's so many facets to a small business. I think as the managing director, it's important that I'm all over everything. But I have a great team now that actually specialises in their own area.
And I think a lot of people these days are interested in the story behind a business. And yours is pretty fascinating. It's the only female-led founded footwear company. Do you feel like that has attracted women to the brand? Are they drawn to that?
There are a lot of women out there that want to support women in business and they also want to support small businesses. And I think this year there's been a huge shift to people online, obviously, and there's that research being done to make sure that it's a small, reputable business. So it's definitely important. And I don't think of this myself, but quite often I'll be at a function and a woman will come up to me and actually say, you were the change makers in the industry. And that's a huge compliment to me. I quite often don't spend time thinking about it. I'm very operationally run. I just get in and do it. But, you know, a huge compliment to receive is when someone says you have been the change maker in an industry that has been dominated by large companies. So that it makes it all worthwhile, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet it's wonderful to hear. So what's next for SheWear?
A few things in the pipeline, which is exciting. So we have about 5 prototypes in the test stage at this time. It's a new one-of-a-kind safety footwear. And then we also are expanding our work footwear line. So quite a few things in the pipeline that's exciting. And we'll also be introducing a loyalty program. We have a huge amount of these amazing women who support our business and share their stories with us. So we really want to support them back. And it won't be a points-based loyalty program. It'll be very much a tiered program
program where women can be involved, and we'll fly them to Brisbane to be a part of our hero campaign and share their story. So that's a really exciting thing for our business early next year.
This podcast is brought to you by Business Australia. What resources have you called on to help manage the business?
Mainly team. So I have worked with a business coach in the past, but I have a great small team and everyone specializes in a different area of the business. So I am involved in networking groups, women in business groups definitely help. Sometimes it's a bit lonely being a sole founder of a business, and a lot of women in business will have the same issues that I do. So it's great to be able to chat to other women to get ideas and just sometimes get that support.
And do you feel like some of those women you're speaking to encounter similar sort of issues in whatever industry they're in?
Absolutely. Femeconomy is this fabulous directory run by two Australian women, and they basically highlight women in business, whether it's 30% founded by women or owned by women, and they will connect other women, and they might even do a call out if someone had this issue before, and you will put your information in there. So it's just about supporting other women in business and sharing our ideas.
Wonderful, Stacey. And obviously people are looking to you. You are now a leader in terms of female-led companies. So congratulations. I'm just wondering if you had any advice to other women looking to start a business.
Just do it. As I said before, just do it. One thing I have learnt is resilience is required in business. And I think sometimes that just comes with persistence. So if you have an idea, do your due diligence. It doesn't really sound like the best business idea, but go with your gut instinct. Really trust that intuition. And if something feels wrong, take heed. But if something feels right, go for it.
How do you know there's the market out there for your product though?
I guess that was my biggest concern in the early days. It wasn't a tried and tested formula. I didn't really even know that market existed, really. Trades and construction, still a very small percentage of women in those fields, but we just get so many different industries saying that they need these boots. So yeah, do your research, do your due diligence and speak with people.
There's this saying out there, whenever you hear about some sort of female enterprise or women breaking new ground, people say, you can't be what you can't see. What about for women like you who are trailblazers? You have to forge a new path. What advice would you have for women who want to go it alone and do something that's never been done before?
Oh, there's so much advice I could give there, but funnily you should say that. You cannot be what you cannot see is one of our favourite sayings, and we do have an Inspiring Women interview series that we focus on other women doing amazing things, that they actually can show other women that there's options out there. But I just think that you really need to go with that gut, trust your intuition and do the hard work. In the early days, your time is free. A lot of people will disagree with me there, but at the end of the day, if you can put some time and effort into it, you will be rewarded. No question about it. It's hard work. I don't think I've ever worked as hard in my life as I have specifically the last year or two, but it's worth it. And when you get this amazing feedback from women that they suffer from plantar fasciitis and they now don't have issues with their back when they come home from work, huge compliment to us. And that really makes it worthwhile.
Did you ever think you were going to change people's lives with some humble footwear?
No, I'm a bit surprised with that. I am a bit surprised, I must admit.
That's wonderful. Stacey Head, founder and managing director of SheWear, congratulations on your success and thanks so much for joining us on The Company You Keep.
Thanks, Janice. Thanks for having me.
Stacey Head from SheWear, rallying against a one-size-fits-all approach to business. She's been able to build a loyal and engaged, female-focused customer base because of the care she's taken to develop a product that puts their needs at the centre of everything the business does. The feedback indicates that women are thrilled to support a product that is specifically designed for them by a female-owned business. SheWear Footwear allows women across many different walks of life to go about their jobs in functional and safe attire that are a welcome departure from the stock standard boring beige and uncomfortable yet common unisex sizing. From stabbing her toe to breaking glass ceilings and building a reputable workwear brand, Stacey Head has shown us what it takes to build an innovative business step by step. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Company You Keep, brought to you by Business Australia. Don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast app.